Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
And Riley.
And that's it for now. We have,
I'm filling in for the vacationing Mark Edge.
Yep, the forever vacationing Mark Edge. But we also have Jay Noon coming, but he'll be a little late. I'll allow it since he's usually completely on time all the time.
You're not going to make him wear the crown of shame?
Oh, is that what Captain does?
Yep.
I think we need a better crown of shame. It's just a Burger King hat.
All right. Well, you got to wear it upside down.
Well, wait, what? He makes them wear it upside down?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess Captain is a much harsher, Free Talk Live ruler than me. So I'm not
Well, he's
make
the
him
captain.
I don't feel like I can make Jay Noon do anything. He'll just be like, ha ha ha, you're a funny little tiny tyrant, and not listen to me. So, good news today. Well, possibly good news. Something that could lead to good news, I guess you could say. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Australia asks the U.S. Justice Department to reach a plea deal with Assange. So we had somewhat of a similar article last week with just like there were some, as this article will point out, there were like some questions the UK government court was asking that were kind of like making them think maybe we can't extradite him or give him over to the U.S. I don't know. Would it be them extraditing him or the U.S. extraditing him?
It would be the, I don't know. I know the UK at this point has custody of Assange, so they'd be extraditing him to the United States.
Okay. I was just wondering like how that word verb works right now. Yeah. I was like, would they be doing it or would we be extraditing him, you know, export and import?
Yeah, I don't know how that works either.
And I said we about the United States.
Well, yeah.
There's not a mouse in my pocket. I just remembered.
Okay, good. I'm glad there's not a mouse in your pocket. Don't mouse pocket me, Bonnie.
So, this article from the Wall Street Journal says, the Justice Department is under growing pressure to reach, the U.S. Justice Department, it kind of implies, is under growing pressure to reach a plea deal with Julian Assange after a request to do so from the WikiLeaks founders, native Australia, and questions from a U.K. court that could prevent his extradition to the U.S. for many more months. And that seems like, is that it? Like, just prevent it for a few more months? Or
yeah, it seems like, are they trying to draw out the process a little longer? Or are they trying to actually...
Or maybe the plea deal would just be like, oh, you reach a plea deal and then you only do a certain amount of time, then we extradite you anyway. So it might not be good news at all.
Who knows?
I feel like he just shouldn't take the plea deal, but of course, that's what I always say.
Yeah.
The government of Australia last week asked the U.S. if it could reach a felony plea deal, whoa, doesn't sound good, with Assange that could result in his return home, according to people familiar with the matter. The other thing is, like, you're making a plea deal with the devil. They could get you over here and be like, you know what, we're not sending you home and you're going to do time here. And then they just kill him or something. I would be terrified to come to the United States if I was him.
I would be too, because the United States terrorist organization is nothing more than a violent gang. I mean, they have proven themselves time and time again to not be just, to be tyrants. And, you know, with political prisoners like Assange, they're going to be ruthless.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. Like, he quote unquote betrayed them. Like, I don't believe that, and you don't believe that, obviously, but that's what they like to say, which makes no sense, because if you've never even been to a country, how do you have any kind of allegiance to it?
And
maybe it's not betrayed, the word they use. The word they use is like, what's the word, like a Benedict Arnold? It's close to betray.
It's treason, maybe?
Yeah, they say that he committed treason, and it makes no sense because you literally, by the definition of that term, need to have already like pledged allegiance to a country or a group in order to be treasonous.
Well, I think you and I in this room have at some point pledged allegiance to a piece of cloth.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, we've committed that sin in our lifetimes, and so we're on the radio trying to repent of it, I guess, and most people don't see it as a sin because they value the state. And I think it's important for our listeners to realize that the state, the institution known as the government, is nothing more than a group of strangers. It's nothing more than the mafia masquerading as a service provider.
Yeah. And I don't know what do you mean by considering it a sin?
Well, to me, it was just a joke. Like, I guess I look at it as more of a joke thing that I was saying, oh, it's a sin, because, you know, statism is this vile religion, in my opinion, and
yeah.
It's an evil religion. And we pay homage to this evil religion at one point in our lives, which, you know, if you value freedom, it's kind of a sin, if you want to look at it that way. But you don't have to look at it that way.
I feel like if you already didn't believe in it and you pledged allegiance anyway to, like, save your skin in some way or just, like, save your reputation, then it would be kind of a sin because it'd be, like, going against your own conscience. But
okay,
to me, it's like, and I don't really have a problem with you saying that. I'm just like, I don't know. It's an interesting thought and conversation. Yeah. But I feel like with me, it's like when I was pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States and Texas, because they make us do that in Texas high schools and middle
schools.
Interesting. Yeah, it's honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one nation, or one state, or something like that. I don't remember actually what's next. But it starts off, honor the Texas flag. Like a whole class of kids saying that. So silly.
That is kind of silly. It's just a piece of cloth.
It's so funny, though, because, like, only Texas would do that.
Yeah, only Texas. They think they're the land of the free, the home of the brave, and they're going to secede from America, but we haven't seen that yet.
I really hope that they do.
I hope so, too. I think they'd be really cool to see these organizations calling themselves states leave a union that's no longer beneficial to them.
Yeah, it's just like one step closer to leaving altogether and, you know, to every individual seceding individually.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will say, oh, well, your state government being in control of you isn't any less tyrannical. I think it is. I think it's less tyrannical, literally, because the Washington, D.C. people who are thousands of miles away from Texas, or at least like 1,000 miles away from Texas, I don't know. They don't care. I'm not trying to say like that Greg Abbott does care or anything like that, but they're a lot less accountable. Like they can do whatever they want basically, and what is anyone from Texas going to do? Fly to DC and do something about it? Like they're not.
No, they're generally not. They may protest at their state capital or they may fly to DC and do something, but people in the District of Criminals aren't going to care because the people in Texas are dozens of miles or hundreds of or maybe even 1,000 miles away or whatever it is. And they don't care because, well, you're just a bunch of plebs in a different location that I don't have to worry about. And that's the biggest complaint the colonists had with the crown is they were far away from the crown, so to speak, and didn't feel like they had a voice. And it's happening again today. And we haven't learned our lesson, have we?
Right. Well, going back to me saying the Pledge of Allegiance in high school and stuff, and probably you too, I don't really know, but at the time, I really did believe, like, in all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I definitely, in high school, I believed it. I was fervent about the pledge. I wanted to say the pledge loud and proud because
right.
I was a patriot.
I hate to admit it, but, like, Chris Wade and some other co-hosts, like Ian, will be like, I always thought it was strange. I questioned it even in first grade, but I was just like, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, like the loudest kid.
Yeah.
Maybe not the loudest kid or anything like that, but I was definitely like, I would be so confused and almost angry when I would see other kids like sitting down for the pledge and not doing it because at least at the years I was in middle and high school, they couldn't do anything to you for not saying it. And some kids would choose not to say it, which really shocked me.
Well,
and I'd be like, why would they do that? It's so rude. It's terrible.
I also remember being angry that people wouldn't respect the flag or the country.
That's so weird considering how we are now.
Yeah, it's so different. Like we look back on that our old selves and we're like, oh, that's interesting. But I can also have sympathy for that self back then because you know I didn't know any better. I firmly believe that America was the land of the free, the home of the brave, the chosen land of God's chosen people or whatever.
Yeah, the first 4th of July that happened, I think it was 2017, after I had become a libertarian, maybe it was 2016. I can't really remember if I became like a straight up anarchist at the beginning of 2016 or the end, but it must have been 2017 because I voted for Trump in 2016 and I was still like becoming a libertarian, but
uh-huh.
I got kind of convinced by, I was just like, well, I can't let Hillary Clinton win, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because Hillary Clinton was never going to win Utah. My vote didn't change anything. Also, my coworkers, aka like my bosses actually were like, that's just a childish thing to do to vote for Gary Johnson. You're throwing your vote away. You should vote for Trump.
It's just ridiculous how these statists think their votes actually matter.
Right.
And how voting for, not voting for a certain party, or is throwing your vote away.
So it's ridiculous.
They're not throwing my vote away.
At least one of my bosses really wanted me to vote for Trump and was just like, she's like a grown woman that I respected. So it was like kind of messed up to honestly do that to me. But I think about that a lot, but whatever. She's, you know, a pretty miserable person now, and I'm, you know, moving on, getting more and more control of my life and not as influenced by random people like that anymore.
Yeah.
But my first 4th of July, it must have been 2017, after like completely like grasping all of this stuff, I actually cried watching the fireworks with my parents because it was like I finally saw everything for how it was, and I felt so like lost. Like, is there any place on earth that's actually like free? Like all the stuff that I was told, it's all lies.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound that serious to some people, maybe, but it was to me.
It sounds like you were going through a grieving process and having this existential grieving over this idea that this isn't the land of the free anymore. We're actual slaves in a plantation.
Right. So there was that, and I stopped being like at least like the type of Christian that my parents were that year.
Yeah.
So I just felt really like lost literally that year.
So for me, it was a gradual process. Like I remember learning about anarcho-capitalism in 2014 and thinking about it, and I still was this constitutional lover and I guess a bit of a minarchist in a way. And then over time, I started becoming more of an ANCAP, and now I consider myself a voluntarist, and here I am in New Hampshire. So for me, it was a gradual process. And I remember the time when I started working, or started working for a company in 2018, and they're typical conservative Utah patriots. And then they started reciting the pledge during a staff meeting. And I just remember being like, you know, I'm an anarchist. Or a voluntarist. I don't believe in reciting a pledge. Am I willing to not stand for the pledge because people around me are going to peer pressure me or whatever, and I might feel that peer pressure?
Did they?
No.
Hmm.
Luckily for me, no. So I definitely did not stand for the pledge, and nowadays I would never stand for the pledge.
Right. I never do anymore, and I don't stand for judges either. It's actually like now that I'm over the initial things we were talking about, kind of like you said, like an existential crisis, feeling like what's even true, what's even real,
yeah,
where is there actually a place I belong and stuff like that. After all of that, I feel a lot more free, and I feel sorry for people who feel the way I did. Like yesterday, you were on the show. Jeremy West from Australia, he called to tell us that he runs our TikTok, and you can follow us on TikTok at Free Talk Live. No underscores or anything. It's just at Free Talk Live. He's told me that there was a woman actually that asked on the TikTok, Bonnie is mad at the system. Why isn't she mad at her husband for breaking the law? And at first I was annoyed, really annoyed by that question. And then I was just driving and thinking about it today. And I was just thinking like, I could have so easily become a person that thought that way if just a few different things went differently in my life. I'm not really mad at her anymore, and I'm also just kind of like, I almost feel bad for people like that.
I do too. I feel bad for the people who can't see the system for what it is, a sham, a scam, a gang of thugs pretending they have authority over you. It's the same thing with religion for me. Like, I see these people, these prophets, these apostles, these popes, these pastors, or whatever you want to call them, with their supposed authority to declare God's word as just people with titles. They may mean well. They may wear the cloak of God or whatever, if you want to call it that. But as I understand it, they're just still people with titles. They're still people in a meat suit with a title that has no bearing on me.
They're wearing suits made of meat.
Well, that's what I call it.
Yeah.
The body. You
Being
know?
A human.
The meat suit.
Yeah. I just wanted you to explain it to the listeners.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga wore a dress made of meat once to the VMAs in 2009.
I heard about that. You know, a lot of people think Lady Gaga is satanic, but that's a different show, unless you want to go there right now. I don't think she is. I think these pop stars are just pop stars. They're doing their thing. They're doing whatever. And these Christian weirdos out there, oh my gosh, they're satanic.
They do put a lot of weird crap that... It's definitely questionable. The thing is, like, I wouldn't use the term satanic considering there's already like a definition of what that is. It's like Arya literally is a Satanist and it means a certain thing. So I really don't get why these people, like, I feel like there's something fishy going on with a lot of pop culture. A lot of things that are just like, why are you all doing that? Why are you all covering one eye? Blah, blah, blah. And it can't, like, I feel like a lot of people are like, obviously it's for the attention. They did it for years and years before VigilantCitizen.com came around and people were like, hey, why are they all doing this same stuff? Why would they have just done that with, like, with, for no attention for decades? But that's definitely a whole different topic. But, and I love Lady Gaga. Like, I'll listen to her music forever. And I feel like a lot of times that they, the pop stars, are just talented people who kind of have to go along to get along to get, like, their art out there.
Yeah, and they feel like they have to go along with the system.
Yeah, so I really hope that nothing, like, terrible is happening to them. Like, sometimes I think, like they put so much, like, mind control symbolism in their stuff, like, meaning, like, they allude to, like music video after music video after music video. Like, Katy Perry is, like, a huge one, and Britney Spears, like, have these allusions talking about, like, oh, they allude to the concepts of mind control or slavery in their music videos. Like, why? I really hope they're not slaves. Like, if something bad is happening to these people just for my entertainment, like, I would stop listening. If I knew that for sure, I'd, like, stop supporting it. It's just, like, it's really tough. Like, this is an entire topic that, like, 2022, I went through, like, crazy feelings and stopped listening to most music for a long time. And I actually had tickets to go see Lady Gaga in Boston for her Chromatica tour. And I didn't go. Like, I sold my tickets because I just had this, like, I felt like I shouldn't support, like, the control system, the controllers.
Well, and, you know, we were coming out of a pandemic in 2020 and everyone was like, oh, wear your mask, including the pop stars. And so I can understand
that's a huge part of it.
This desire to not be part of that system. And it's interesting that a lot of people still want to be part of that system because Taylor Swift is popular or whatever, and we got to be part of the system, we got to be part of a fashion trend, we got to follow the pop stars. And it's just so fascinating how involved people are with pop culture.
One thing about it was literally the masks, and it's not just, like, some people might find that totally frivolous and be like, oh, if you like the music, you should listen to it, even if your politics differ from hers. But the thing is, like, it's a lot deeper than that for me. When I was 11 and I discovered Lady Gaga, and all I did all day was, like, research about Lady Gaga, watch her music videos, watch her live performances on YouTube, hope that one day I could, like, meet her and stuff like that. The thing about it to me was she, it, like, exemplified and was Miss Individuality to me. Like, be whoever you want.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want to do. Don't let anybody else tell you you can't. You can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you set your mind to, types of stuff. And that's, I've always really got that. That is literally her message and stuff. But then she goes and does stuff like wears a mask while performing and stuff like that. And I felt almost like betrayed in 2020. And
so it sounds like her hypocrisy or whatever caused some feelings of betrayal for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Because I always looked up to her for a specific, like, this is the thing. This is my theory now. I think that tons and tons of pop music, and the thing is, like, my thing is pop music. Like, I just love pop specifically. I love, like, Bjork, and she has those types of themes. I love Lady Gaga.
What about Beyonce?
I'm just not, like, a huge Beyonce fan, and I don't think that she would fall under this category I'm about to talk about, who, like, put, like, messages of individuality and freedom in their music. And but tons of the ones that I really like do that. And I have this theory now that, and it's not just pop, like, a lot of this happens in rock, you know, like Nine Inch Nails. They have these themes about freedom and, like, stick it to the man and stuff like that, and do whatever you want, be yourself and lead yourself. Well, they do that while on the other hand supporting politicians and doing stuff that, like, goes completely against that. And I wonder now if maybe they put these ideas of freedom and everything in their music, so that way your brain is just telling you, oh, this is freedom. Like, listening to this song is that thing that I need on a biological level. That is it. And then your thirst for it is quenched. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's like a psychological game.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it sounds like to me what you're saying is that they're singing about freedom on one hand and wearing masks and muzzles on the other, as though they're trying to portray that as actual freedom. Tyranny is freedom. Yeah.
And you, on a, you know, subconscious level, are believing that that is, you're not going to go out and look for freedom anymore.
Yep, freedom is slavery.
And freedom and slavery is such a good point, because they put slavery themes in their music videos.
Yeah, and it's just the example of Orwellian doublespeak. If people have not read 1984, I would highly recommend that book. The idea of doublespeak is basically, you know, people are saying one thing, but their actions are telling you another.
That is a really good point. I would definitely recommend anybody read, or at least like listen to it on audiobook. That is the book that actually like woke me up.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't remember if it was said on the show or I heard it somewhere else, but people need to realize that 1984 and Brave New World are not roadmaps of where we should go or where we're going, but there should be warnings to us of, let's not go down this road. This is totalitarianism at its finest. Let's not go down this road, people. And yet we're going down the road.
I have no idea if that's why those people wrote those books, but I totally agree that that is how people should at least look at them either way.
Yeah.
I actually never read Brave New World. I feel like you just got to read like one or two of those. Read The Giver. That's a good one.
I haven't read The Giver or Brave New World. I probably should read both of them.
And then read, well, never mind. I'm just going to start listing things people should read. Like, you know, all of the Chronicles of Narnia.
And those are good books. I mean, there's a lot of Christian symbolism in those books, but I think we can also look at them as symbolisms for, or symbols as of liberation, of not looking for a messianic figure to liberate us, but we can look at the lion as a symbol of our own liberation in our own lives.
I read it as like no longer a Christian and as an anarchist, or at least I read The Magician's Nephew from it, and I got, oh my God, like a lot out of that I didn't get as a kid.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like, oh my God. It's candy to read. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. You can call in with your opinions and thoughts about anything we're talking about, or you can just change the subject altogether. Is there something you want to be heard on radio stations across the United States? Call in. That's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
It's Free Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind. It doesn't matter. You can change the subject or comment on what we're talking about. It doesn't matter, because it's Free Talk Live, and you should be able to speak your mind and say whatever you want people to hear.
That's what free speech is all about.
Right. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And that's it.
So far.
I was like expecting a third one for a second. Usually we have three co-hosts. We're waiting for Janoon to join us as well. In the last segment, we talked about a whole bunch of different things, but one of the things we started talking about is this Wall Street Journal article about Julian Assange. So Julian Assange is the founder of WikiLeaks, and he made that website to put out some, I don't know if you'd call it like a dog whistle, considering he wasn't in the U.S. government. Well, he allowed people to become dog whistles by publishing on WikiLeaks. Like, isn't that what Snowden did? Snowden, like, worked with Assange, right?
I don't know if Snowden worked with Assange necessarily. I know Snowden was a former contractor for the NSA and published mm-hmm. ideas, but I don't know if he published them through Assange. I know, who was it? Glenn Greenwald did a lot of reporting on Edward Snowden. He was a journalist that did a lot of reporting on Edward Snowden and the Snowden revelations and how the government was surveilling us. And so that was important. WikiLeaks was also important because Julian Assange was publishing supposedly government documents.
Yep.
And they didn't like it.
Yep, they did not like it.
Because
it
revealed their secrets and their schemes and how much of a sham they really are.
Yes, the United States government. And so the other sham government, the United Kingdom, currently has custody of... I've never thought of it like that. Like, just to read it like, uck. So the UK currently has custody of Julian Assange, and he's not doing well there. I've always heard that he's doing really bad in prison, and I don't blame him. I would be terrified to get given to the United States government if I were him.
Yeah, I mean, Belmarsh Prison, where he's being held in the UK, is just not a friendly place from what I've heard.
That's so weird. I always think of the UK as sort of like Canada. Like, how could they be mean? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well,
but it's tyranny, not true, actually.
Tyranny looks really nice on the outside, but on the inside, it's a rotten core.
I agree. Well, I sometimes tyranny looks really bad on the outside, too.
Oh, it does.
But with, like, the kings and queens over there and stuff, I feel like they put a lot of effort into this front where they're like, oh, we are civilized. We are kings and queens, and we have tea parties and stuff.
Well, it's
we wear weird hats.
It's the way the people want to view them. They want to view the kings and queens as their special monarchs that are the saviors or the people they can look to in times of trouble or the people who are high above them and they're so wonderful and they're brilliant and they're perfect and we need to look up to these people. They're physical embodiments of the divine, but in reality they're just people in meat suits with titles.
I agree, including the kings and queens, you know, no matter how they want to make themselves look.
Yeah.
And in the United States, they really do basically the same thing, like decorum and dressing up in suits, like you're saying. And I never really, I mean, not never, I don't always said never, but I haven't liked that kind of thing in a long time. When I was younger, I did, like, it's not like it was at the forefront of my mind, but I realized later that I definitely did think of those people as somehow different than us. Like,
huh.
Now I like to remind people that they're just people just like us, and they're also people who believe themselves to be better than us, and they're that just makes them parasites. They want to let you do all the work while they tell you what to do. They take 34% of your earnings over your lifetime, as we learned yesterday. They believe that they're your owners. They're just an evil monopoly, and they're also lunatics and despots and goons and thieves and...
gangsters.
Gangsters, yeah. They're the mafia, the modern-day mafia. Just
you know,
trying to legitimize itself.
Like you, I used to think these people were better as well. They were better than us. They're different. They're special. And it'd be so nice to be in their presence. But in reality, they're just people with titles. They're just like you and me. They just happen to have magical titles next to their name.
Right. I used to actually feel the same way where I thought like, oh, it'd be so nice to meet George Bush when I was a little kid. Sounds so weird now. Like, I literally, this is so weird, but I asked my mom and dad, I was like, would you let George Bush babysit us? And they were like, of course we would. And then I was just like, yay, that would be so fun. Now that's literally terrifying.
Yeah.
After like the Pizzagate stuff came
out. Yeah, I mean, wow. I'm sure, I don't know, let me ask you. Did you ever look up to your pastor or your church leaders when you were little?
Yeah, definitely.
See, I did too. And I thought the prophet, which I came from Mormonism, so the prophet was this special guy. He had so much love for humankind and was chosen by God to lead the people. And people have said to me, I've been in the prophet's presence, and he's such a good man. I can feel goodness and love radiating from him. And I'm like, and now that I think about it as an anarchist today, I think about it as this placebo effect. I mean, they're feeling things that aren't real. I mean, they're real inside their head, but they're not true in the sense that these people are not radiating love from them. They're just people with titles, and you're associating so much importance with these people and titles.
It's probably your own love you're feeling because, you know, you've been manipulated to feel that way for them.
Yeah.
We have Jay Noon here joining us, so I unmuted you, Jay.
Hello. Sorry for getting here late.
Should we make him wear the crown of shame?
I'm just kidding. Not a tiny tyrant, as David from New Mexico says.
All right.
I'm not going to make him wear the crown of shame. Apparently, that's something that Captain does. So look out, Jay, if you're late on a Captain Day, he'll make you wear the crown of shame.
Well, I'm not afraid of any crowns.
Well, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, by the way, and that's digital cash. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project with a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash, and you can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. So before you got here, Jay, we were talking about, and we barely got into the article, so that's kind of a good thing. We're talking about this idea that Australia is asking the U.S. Department to reach a plea deal with Assange, which at first we're like, oh, maybe this is a good thing. And the more we think about it, might even be a bad thing.
Yeah, I think plea deals are generally bad things.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's no reason that this Assange has gone through all he's gone through. It's really bad.
Yep. There's no reason that it's happened this far at all. I mean, like the idea.
All he did was expose the truth.
Yep. Yeah, he did.
The idea that the process is the punishment is so true. He hasn't gotten any kind of a trial or anything yet, and yet he's been away from his family and living in a cage for like over a decade. I don't know.
There's no due process of law. There's no victim. And, you know, I'm going to butcher the quote, but Ron Paul says, truth is treason. In
the empire of lies.
In the empire of lies. There you go.
Yep.
And Julian Assange was willing to tell the truth. And they don't like it. They don't like when people tell the truth.
They don't like it. And I wonder if this sentence here is actually, you know, the Australian government also not liking it and trying to look like they're doing something good. It says the government of Australia last week asked the U.S. if it could reach a felony plea deal with Assange that could result in his return home, according to people familiar with the matter. The U.S. is also facing a Tuesday deadline to provide assurances to a U.K. court that Assange would be afforded free speech protections under the First Amendment, comparable to those U.S. citizens enjoy, something that contradicts what U.S. prosecutors previously suggested in this case. Wow, that's so bad. I thought as soon as you got into the land known as the United States, you were supposed to have all of the rights afforded to people under the Constitution.
Well, that's what you get for thinking.
See, but I just mean, like, I thought that's the way that they say that it is going to work.
Well, they say it that way, I'm sure, but the reality is so much different.
Maybe they have this thing like, oh, yeah, but not if you're a prisoner.
Yeah, well, prisoners that don't get rights anymore.
Well, the thing is, you know, actually, if you start looking at, like, who actually the federal government recognizes rights as people, because the Constitution says the word people. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say persons, doesn't say corporations, any of that stuff. You know, people have these rights. And this is something we're paying very close attention to here in New Hampshire with, you know, the people are, you know, guaranteed due process of law. And what's happening is courts everywhere are operating without due process of law. So on this international level with, it's the United States who is trying to extradite, you know, Julian Assange back to the States so they can do something with him.
Yeah.
I don't know how many dollars has been spent of, U.S., tax slaves dollars or great-grandchildren who aren't even born yet. But anyways, this thing is just happening everywhere. And here in New Hampshire, and actually in all 50 states, from what I can tell, you have Child Protective Services and family court, you know, basically engaging in conspiracies with, a whole bunch of their employees engaging in conspiracies with a whole bunch of employees from another governmental agency, not a government agency. You know, the suffix AL on the end of the word means, you know, something different, similar to or like. But anyways, and they're doing it without due process of law. We actually have an investigative committee here in New Hampshire going on, about this I've been talking about. But the same thing is happening all over the place. The Constitution doesn't seem to matter to these guys. And the only people who are really going to have constitutional rights are the ones, who belligerently claim them, is the bottom line. And even then, they're going to try really, really hard to ignore you.
And well, if you're the only one, they might just try to kill you.
Right. And they do this because they want to control you. They don't want to adhere to an old document. They don't want to adhere to their rules because it's just so easy to have people believe they're free and believe they have these rights. But when they don't claim them, they can believe they have all the rights all day long and pay their taxes and be good little citizens. Yeah.
And the thing is they're not so U.S. citizens, that's the problem. Most people are considered, and Julian Assange isn't even a U.S. citizen, is he?
No, he's not.
So under the Constitution, he would be protected because he is people. He's one of the people. As soon as he steps foot on this earth, on this ground, they call the United States of America, he is one of the people. So this is why, especially west of the Mississippi, you have, people from Mexico, Mexican nationals. They are treated like the people that are described in the Constitution when law enforcement deals with them. Now, then that's for many reasons. First off, because they're not U.S. citizens. So a U.S. citizen is a second-class citizen. They are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Just read the Constitution.
Yeah.
Read the 14th Amendment. It says all persons born or naturalized within the territories of the United States are U.S. citizens herein, semicolon, and are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States of America, because the United States of America is something totally different than the United States. The United States is just, it's either the District of Columbia, territories or possessions, or it's some legal entity, some corporation calling itself United States. So, but when the Mexican nationals, for example, get pulled over, they pretty much are just let go unless they have fake ID and get busted for it and upset somebody or are doing something that particular cop doesn't like or ICE agent doesn't like or whatever. Because that's how they target. You can basically just set up go after anybody for any crime that they that you want, or there's multiple crimes you go after somebody for. There was a book, everybody commits 3 felonies a day or something.
Oh, so it is 3. For some reason, yesterday we were talking about it, and I really thought it was 5.
Yeah,
but
it's 3.
At this point, it's probably like 10.
But, yeah, right. So, yeah, you start looking at, now it's, they're implementing felonies for, memes, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are not a federal United States citizen, you get treated a whole lot better here. So, the thing with Assange here is, this is just to make a political statement. It's the same thing with Ian, being prosecuted by the United States is to make a political statement. These guys have an injury. And right now, even with Trump, in these cases that they're going after Trump for, there's no injured parties. There's nobody's claiming an injury or a loss except for, some, fictitious, organization calling itself state of whatever or, county prosecutor or whatever.
Yeah.
These entities that can't even be damaged because they're not even alive. And this is happening at all elements. And it's all about making an example. Ian is in jail and convicted.
And that's the founder of our show, Free Talk Live. He's been in jail for over 6 months now. He got sentenced in October, and he's in there for selling cryptocurrency. He's going to appeal starting next month.
So anyways, same thing with Trump. They're going after him for all this stuff. Assange, Snowden, these guys where there's no injured party. There can be no due process of there is no due process of law. They're using statutes to go after them. Statutes are not law. They are merely codes for these governmental agencies and governmental organizations, and they only apply to government contractors and governments. That's it. They don't apply to private people. And but the thing is this is just part of the cabal is falling apart, I hope. And people are, waking up and understanding. And then so I just see this as some Australian people are putting pressure on Australian representatives about Julian Assange. But the thing is Australia, New Zealand, the European nations, like all the NATO nations, United States, Canada, they're all run by the same diabolical handful of people as far as I'm concerned. They're all run by these, collective group of, uber ultra rich people who we don't know who their names are, we don't know where they live, we don't know their identities.
Yeah, and
they
seem to want full and total control over our lives, how our healthcare is going to look like, what they can do to us during a scamdemic, I mean, a pandemic. What
getting
they
more
can,
power to do different
they
things.
They want to regulate our speech. They want to do all sorts of things to us in the name of...
saving the babies.
Yeah, saving the babies, saving the climate.
It's all for the kids.
It's all for the children, all for the climate, all for the earth. It's like, you know, they don't care about these things.
But as far as Australian citizens, you know, trying to get their government to help Assange, I really doubt that. To me, it sounds like the more we read into it, I was like, wait a second, this doesn't sound like a very good deal for Julian Assange. It's probably not even good news. It's probably just the Australian government, you know, colluding with the United States government to get him, you know, he's going to be a felon for what? For something that should be protected under the United States First Amendment, but he's not even a citizen. They shouldn't have any power to go after him at all.
I mean, he would have protections under the Magna Carta. As far as I'm concerned, he has all of these rights because he's, you know, an upright man with opposable thumbs that can fog up a mirror and communicate with us. I mean, you know, I don't care, you know, where he comes from. He should, he should not be trespassed on unless he trespassed on another. And clearly Assange did not trespass on anybody. And these are simple fundamentals of law that bar maggots, you know, lawyers who are members of the Bar Association, all these judges, prosecutors, they have just been, you know, just creating constant miscarriages of justice and following through with them left and right, because most people don't fight back. Most people are just NPCs and they just pay the fines and just go along to get along, and
they want
to
be law abiding citizens.
And the thing with all the masses too is, you know, we got this massive enslavement system now called that I call the algorithm, which is, you know, enslaving, you know, the masses unbelievably, you know, through the internet devices and all this stuff. And it's doing a really good job. And then these algorithmic slaves are, as far as I'm concerned, they're just mostly doing what the algorithm tells them to do, who to vote for or whatever. And, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of these places that where the most of the population are these, you know, city urban liberal types who, you know, are in very much into their internet devices and not taking care of themselves and are just totally rooting for, you know, the leftist government all the time. They are, you know, they're going to collapse. There's a lot of that in Australia. There's a lot of, you pay attention, Australia, New Zealand, Europe, United States, Canada, these big blue cities, they're going to go down the toilet. It's
but they already have. And the other thing about it is, I feel like if they were going to fight back at all, that's just not going to happen. The citizens of Australia at this point,
no,
because
probably not.
The stuff they went through for COVID was crazy. They don't have guns. They still don't believe they need guns. And I feel like if anybody has two brain cells to rub together in Australia, you would not live there anymore. So
That's like I hung out with a bunch of expat Australians and New Zealanders and Europeans in Mexico when I was in Acapulco. Mm. And one guy,
recent expats, like since COVID or before.
Most of them were. A lot of them were because of COVID.
Oh wow!
Yeah, a lot of them were like 2020. They just left Europe. You know, I don't know when it was when Max Egan left Australia. He doesn't even think he can go back there at this point.
Wow.
Another friend I worked with, she's just, Rebecca, she's part of Anarchapulco. And, you know, she's from Australia and, you know, she's living in Mexico. And the thing is there's a lot of people with means and money and foresight are getting out of those countries. Getting out of a lot of those countries.
You know, going back to what you said about algorithmic slaves, Jay, I think that it's easy to become an algorithmic slave because, you know, technology is a wonderful tool. It enables us to communicate with our friends or neighbors around the world. And it's brought us closer together as humanity. But, you know, social media companies and things like them are taking advantage of our vulnerability to connect. And, you know, finding ways to serve us things that we will always click on to match our echo chamber, because they want us in an echo chamber. It's easier to control people in an echo chamber and get them formulated to form against a group of other people.
Yeah, like if your posts are not actually reaching people who disagree with you, what's the point of posting? That's
absolutely
how I feel a lot of the time. Like on Twitter, I'm like, why do I just see all these people tweeting the same exact stuff like me? It's like, makes it feel like there's just no point. Like that's probably what their feeds look like too.
Well, it's when you have a cult-like mentality on a social media, which, you know, the algorithm is designed to create a cult-like mentality, it's easy to other the other. It's easy to treat the other person like they don't matter.
And another thing that's happening, too, is and I had a discussion with a mom today about her teenage son, is you're starting to see a lot of teenage boys, especially, you know, and even like 10, 12, but like young teenage boys that have had access to internet devices and used internet devices when they were like toddlers. Even in ones that were, the internet device was taken away when they were 7, 8 years old because, you know, they woke up, they moved to New Hampshire, for example, as one lady was telling me, oh yeah, we took all that stuff away, you know, when the kid was like 7, I guess kid's like 13 now. And basically, like, the kid is just like, all he wants to do is be on the internet, be on the internet device, play video games, you know, and then the mom's going through like all of the, you know, search history to, you know, mom's pretty smart. And she's like, oh yeah, he's like, you know, looking at all this, you know, AI porn bot things,
wow,
and like, you know, which is very attractive to a, you know, 13-year-old boy.
Oh yeah,
because
they're full of hormones. They're curious,
right? They're curious, and the particular hormones that are getting released, the testosterone and whatever else happens, you know, they is now his brain is being essentially, you know, formed to what kind of, you know, woman he's gonna like.
Yeah,
and when the algorithm has control of that and is able to, you know, put that, you know, into their, is able to program those young boys, those young bulls, of what kind of woman they like, well, what you start getting is population decline, like essentially what there's really bad population issues in Japan, and a lot of that reason, I believe, is because the high speed internet in Japan has been, you know, the first place in the world that really had real good internet. And a lot of the young Japanese men are just not interested in flesh and blood women because the internet,
because of
pornography, because of anime, because of the attraction, because their dopamine hits were, they got free dopamine hits at when their brain was developing from the internet. And then when their brain was sexually developing, they got the dopamine hit from the internet. You know, the internet doesn't tell you no, it doesn't reject you, it doesn't divorce you, it doesn't take half of your stuff.
No.
You're an AI bot. And there's even like these things where you can go in and just pick what kind of AI bot avatar, whatever you want.
And it'll talk back to you and have whatever personality you program it to and stuff. Apparently,
it's really ruining culture, and it starts with keeping your kids off the internet devices right from the beginning.
603-283-6160 is the phone number here. Anyone can call in to say whatever is on their mind. That's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Derek J. To me, an activist's calling is to actively work to advance a cause. The cause for which I work is personal freedom. I believe my life is best when I engage in voluntary interactions and self-government. I reject the idea that anyone else has a higher claim to my life or my body than I do. I see people who call themselves the government as a threat to my personal freedom. I realize you may feel differently, but my relationship with the people who call themselves the government is completely involuntary. If Starbucks used some of its money to drop bombs, I wouldn't shop there. So why would I support the American Empire? The Empire does not require my consent.
Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny Liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com. And with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Riley.
And in the last segment, we were talking about a possible plea deal to be reached for Julian Assange, who is the founder of WikiLeaks, currently being held in a UK prison, and he's been there for 5 years, apparently. But I'm pretty sure he's been like in custody of several different countries over the years, and I think he's been there for like a whole decade. Been in some cage for a whole decade.
That's a long time being in a cage. I mean, he's been forced to stay at the Ecuadorian embassy. He's been now locked in a UK prison, and the United States wants to bring him here. It's just ridiculous how they've treated a man who essentially posted some documents that the government didn't want people to see.
And didn't the UK pick him up because of some kind of like made up false like sexual assault type charges or something?
Yeah, I think that was a charge in Sweden. Related.
Yeah,
that was eventually dropped.
Yeah, you're right. It was Sweden, right? And it was dropped. It's just like really messed up. Somebody posts some information the government doesn't want you to know about, even though they're supposed to be transparent and you know, doing only things that the people want you to do. So what's so wrong about letting the people know what you're doing? And then they put him in a cage, taken away from his wife and his child for years and years, and now they're considering possibly making him a felon and giving him a deal that probably would still involve time and more time served and stuff like that. But something I found really interesting in possibly a bad way about Javier Milei, who is the only ANCAP president of the United States, or of the world ever. Javier Milei is the president of Argentina, who won with no government experience except for 2 years being in the House of their Congress that they have there. It's very similar to the United States, but I think they have different words for things. So he did that for 2 years. Before that, he was just an economist, a libertarian economist. He recently said, like, on the Ben Shapiro show, all of his favorite authors, including Mises, he listed, like, a bunch of libertarian Austrian economists, and that's really cool. I hope that that gets, you know, those ideas out to a lot more people. But something that seems like possibly a really bad thing, this from express.co.uk says, President Milei has formally put in an application to join NATO, the Global Military Alliance. And I don't really like that idea.
I don't like the idea either, because NATO is one of these organizations, if you will, that thinks they have the right to govern others in that particular union.
That's exactly right, and bully people who aren't in it.
Yeah. And what was NATO created for? Anybody here know?
To fight the Russian.
That's right.
USSR.
Basically, you know, this Cold War nonsense stuff. And there's Trump's definitely been quoted saying, what do we need NATO for? We should get rid of NATO. There's no need for NATO.
I kind of think I remember that, but I forgot.
And I agree with that. NATO shouldn't exist.
Right.
I agree. Yeah.
The USSR is not a threat anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. They should have disbanded whenever the USSR did.
But it's such a cash cow for whatever crooked politicians, military contractors, etc. And now it's being used as a proxy to stimulate more war economy, because that's all the wars are about, is just, you know, writing checks to Raytheon and Boeing and, you know, all these other contractors.
Including the war that's going on in Ukraine right now. They had claimed that the NATO creeping closer to their borders was a huge part of why they decided to invade Ukraine. So,
and also Ukraine was, you know, has been literally bombing since 2014, the Donbass and Luhansk region, right there. And those people wanted to be part of Russia. They voted to be part of Russia.
Yeah. Those regions are eastern Ukraine, allegedly, but they want to be part of Russia. They voted to, and the government of Ukraine, so like Zelensky and stuff, was bombing them. And then shortly after that, Putin invaded the country, claiming that he was like taking, taking that region.
I call it a defensive measure to protect the Ludonks and Donbass regions out over there.
Well, all of that could be debated too, because like some things he's done cannot be considered self-defense of any form. But we have Jeremy from Australia calling. Jeremy, what's on your mind? Oh, I pressed the wrong button. Sorry. Oh, wait, no, maybe I lost him. Maybe I lost him just now. I don't know what just happened. 603-283-6160. He's calling from Australia, so maybe there was some kind of somehow we dropped
Hopefully
dropped
he'll
it.
Call back.
But actually, he is calling back, so I'm going to go ahead and go to Jeremy in Australia. Jeremy, can you hear me? I think I may have pressed the wrong button and dropped you there. Nope, I don't hear him. It's not muted, so not sure what's going on there. Jeremy, you might have to maybe try again. I can't hear anything. Oh, wait, I think
you hear me now?
Yep,
yes,
I hear
we
you.
Can. Loud and clear.
What's going on with
fantastic.
You? What's on your mind, Jeremy? No, it's okay.
I'm calling in as the TikTok correspondent, giving a radio voice to those who want to be keyboard warriors.
that's a really cool idea. Do you have another comment?
Yeah. So, yeah, well, it's pretty cool. I did it yesterday, and I was able to reply to, you know, someone's video or someone's comment with another video of you answering them. So let's do it again today.
Cool.
When the guard banned you from seeing Ian for a month, which was overturned, you called them the F word, which mm-hmm. I mean the F word that's a bundle of sticks
right.
that get burned up. And someone who I think I agree with said that's a gross word to use, though. Maybe try to find some more creative insults. He's
I don't think I need to be
on a power trip.
I don't think I need Sorry. To be creative or actually like care about these people's feelings in any way. This is a person who is proudly keeping my husband in a cage and then trying to do petty, extremely petty things to me and purposely pushing me to the edge, being extremely disrespectful to me. I really don't. I'm not one of those people who cares about how much, how sweet I am to somebody who is doing things clearly to disrespect me. I'm not going to be bullied by this commenter or anyone else to police my speech. And I know where people are coming from.
Finish.
Like, oh, it makes me look bad.
Me?
Yeah, I do.
Sorry, if I finish what she's saying, she's not saying that you shouldn't call that person names. She's talking about
the
what
specific
name
word.
She said, yeah, he's definitely on a power trip, but I'd rather say things like stale ham sandwich of a man than use a word used for so much hate against vulnerable people.
Well, good for her. She can choose to do that.
Yeah. But I would just say, what is the point
this
of
word
using...
actually isn't meant as like just an insult to gay people anymore. Words change, and I wasn't using it to mean you are a gay human being. No, I was using it to mean, this is the thing. I've been friends with so many gay people in my life that they always have this conversation where they're saying that word has basically been taken back. Just like women took back the word slut and now they like ask guys to call them that and stuff. Well, that word has basically been taken back and it really just means a loser at this point. If somebody is using it to insult a gay person and you know that they're doing that, you know that that's what it means. But when I was calling him that, it was because I was saying you're just like a beneath the slug loser with nothing better to do, no power, you're not a man. And that's what I meant by it. And I don't really care if other people disagree. I don't do anything to disrespect gay people for being gay. And I think if somebody just can't handle hearing a specific word without, you know, getting
triggered.
Offended for the other people, like you don't need to be offended on gay people's behalf. So I'm not offending gay people or I'm not trying to offend gay people on purpose or anti-gay people or keeping any rights from them. And I don't mean you. I mean,
that's
the commenter.
True. Yeah. Yeah. No, but that's true. I would never, you know, take away someone's right to say something, but would you use the N-word? That's been taken back by black people, but you're not black and you're not gay. So
I don't think that that's the same at all, because it's not something that has ever been okayed by black people for like anyone to say. That's the thing. Like
right.
when you
so,
hear fag
you're
hag,
that
when
gay
you
people have told you,
Literally, that has happened. That actually literally has happened in my life. But also, I think that the whole culture has been using that word to mean loser for a long time. Like, if somebody calls a politician that somebody doesn't like a faggot, which is FCC not isn't going to fine radio stations for saying that word or anything, then a bunch of gay people won't. That agree with that, they're not going to stand up and be like, yeah, well, we hate this politician who's doing this, blah, blah, blah. But you shouldn't say that word. Like, maybe some, but not most of the ones I've known in my life, especially since I don't live in, like, California. And honestly, California should just, like, break off and go do its own thing, because it's like they just want to control people's lives. I really just don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, when you hear the term fag hag, it's like used as a joke. Like, people joke around about it. Honestly, I think the term fag hag is more insulting to people like me, who have historically been somebody that gay people will come to and be vulnerable with and tell me. Like, I have been the first person, over 10 people have come to tell them me that they're gay. And it's just been a weird thing that's happened in my life tons of times. It's more offensive to me because I'm not a hag.
I've definitely used that term for my brother's gay, and he had a woman who seemed almost like his girlfriend, even though he's gay. So I'm pretty sure I've used that term. But what about Mark? You're closer to my age. How do you feel about the word?
Jay Noon is actually on the show with us today, Jay and Riley.
Oh, I thought I heard. Sorry, it's just you and Jay.
Jay and Riley. Jay's voice is actually pretty similar to Mark sometimes, and he's usually on Thursdays, but Jay is closer to your age, probably.
My age. Yeah.
I'm 44.
I'm 46.
So this is the word F-A-G that we're talking about?
See, and you spelt it out, whereas Bonnie said it.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, I really don't care. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but the words you say can never hurt me. I mean, whatever. And that's just a bundle of sticks, right? And in the UK, they refer to fags as cigarettes, correct?
Yeah. Cigarettes as, say that.
Yep.
I don't know if they still do. I have no idea if that's like an old term, because I know that
definitely
of
still
sticks.
Do. There was there was a dude from the UK at Anarchapulco, and I distinctly remember him looking for a fag. And I told him I knew of a few in New Hampshire. And he goes, no, no, buddy. I mean some cigarettes. You got a cigarette? And I'm like, no. So I said, I'm friends with a few in New Hampshire.
The reason that this whole subject kind of triggers me, even in a way, is just the fact that I think the idea that somebody looking at someone like me going through the situation I went through with the guard bullying me and then taking it out on Ian as well and banning me from visiting him for 30 days, which eventually did get overturned because he never actually had the right to do that anyway. It was just on a power trip. I think the idea is somebody would like go and learn about that and then just say, like, I'm all offended about her use of a certain word when she was angry. Like, that just pisses me off. Like, pay attention. Yeah. You people, not you, but this woman, she can't, you know, whoever this was, it just makes me feel like you got to pay attention to the most. You have to think about the important things in life without just letting, these like this mind control just run in your brain. Like, you just sat there listening to a story like that, and your brain just immediately tells you, like, we should be offended that she used the F word that I don't like and starts typing. It's just like that drives me crazy. That's like the entire reason that I think that free speech is important, is because stuff like that is used to, you know, keep people from thinking about the important stuff, if that makes sense.
And these correctional officers, there's nothing you can do to them other than maybe insult them a little bit or maybe plant a seed of common sense a little bit in his mind. That's the only thing that you could possibly do to him, because he is of the parasite class and he is extremely well protected. Because we have this fractional reserve system where the government can just keep printing money out of thin air. Therefore, they can hire armies to protect these extreme parasites, because if you did anything to him physical, you'd be going to jail or took it away in a body bag. Mm-hmm. And you can't do anything to these guys. And so, obviously, he's just a psychopath flexing his power, you know, because, you know, getting you riled up and doing that to you. And most people who work in criminal justice... I know a lot of guys that were prison guards, and it went to their head.
Hmm.
Now, one of my good friends in high school, he was a kickboxer. He did MMA fighting. And him and we played football together. And actually, a few of these guys got into being prison guards. And they went to criminal justice at Westfield State College and stuff to, you know, because they wanted to be. And they, or I don't know if they wanted to be, but they got into doing correctional officer work. And about 3 years after high school, the one dude was a correctional officer. And he was like, you know, he goes, I just attended a correctional officers conference down in New York City. And at the very first part of the first day of the conference, I just couldn't stop but thinking about things that you told me over the years, Jay, about this system being corrupt. He goes, it is. And he said that the goal for the basically the agenda for the prison industrial complex, he didn't use that term, but basically, you know, that industry was to have half of the American population incarcerated.
Wow.
So because this is how this, you know, industry is going to make money. And basically they figure incarcerated in some form doesn't mean that they're like being on probation would be considered, because the, when they're on probation even, and they have these private services that are offered by these non-governmental agencies or NGO, non-governmental organizations that basically just farm these jobs, contract these jobs out to these government contractors like Whack and Hut. Check out Whack and Hut. I forget how you spell it, but they are a huge military, huge prison industrial complex contractor. Well, my prison guard buddy was like, he's like, yeah, and they're like, oh yeah, well, we get half of the prison, half of the American population somehow incarcerated. Doesn't mean all of that half of that population would be in a prison cell, but of some sort.
House arrest, maybe.
Yeah.
Like they did in 2020.
Yes, things like that. Then, you know, your pension's going to be golden. Your union's going to be strong, you know, as one of these workers. And the idea of the prison industrial complex is the same thing as Child Protective Services complex, the, you know, the education industrial complex, is to keep on growing and growing the bottom, the low level employees, like, you know, the prison guards, the, you know, the school teachers, whatever, the social workers, because you need all these, you know, low level employees to basically be the foundation of the pyramid scam that is their pension fund. And all these government pension funds are basically going to be, are essentially worthless, according to Robert, you know, Kiyosaki there. But that's what a lot of the programming that is instilled into these parasite industry workers, whether it's prison, child protective services, school, all the government employees, all the unions, is that they have to constantly increase the amount of members in the union. It has to expand and grow. Even if the industry's not there anymore, that is the agenda and the push. I just got some good news here in Plymouth, New Hampshire. Some school literally shut down in Plymouth, New Hampshire, because the people voted not to give the school any more budget, any more money, or the school budget.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
Just seen a headline of that. So that's got the teachers union really upset there. And you know, these teachers unions are, you know, going to fight like hell to make sure all these, you know, teachers got jobs, because that's all they care about is they have
an excuse for having a job.
Right. And they don't care about the education of the children. And it looks like now school kids basically are graduating high school. Most of them can't even read in the United States, especially in all the cities.
It's also like going back to what we were saying about people becoming the people you knew becoming correctional officers.
Oh, yeah, it went to their head.
What they learned in school about how they wanted to have 50% of the United States like in the system somehow. Well, it's just an excuse for these parasites to have a job, because they can't do anything actually productive that somebody would value and ask them to do for money. So they just don't want to. It's either they can't, and I don't mean they can't, like they're disabled, but I mean they never learn to, or they just don't want to and don't want to learn to, and they see this system as something where they can do a job, just do what they're told, and also get money.
Yeah, the money's very addictive, the incentive of money. I see this with single moms, that as soon as they start getting on welfare, they go authoritarian. When they used to be libertarian, when they used to be freedom leaning, now they're, you know, all about, you know, just playing ball so they can keep on getting their welfare. You know, they're making up things about their, you know, their babies' left and right, so they can, because their lawyers tell them to, because the social workers tell them to, all this stuff. It's crazy.
So, Jeremy, did you have anything else you wanted to add? Didn't want to leave you hanging there. I know you're calling from Australia. Okay, it might be expensive.
No, it's free on SIP. Wanted to say to anyone that is watching on TikTok, if you just go to the profile and click on the little phone icon anytime between 7 and 10 U.S. Eastern time, you can get your voice heard on the air.
Oh, thank you so much.
Excellent.
Jeremy, that's awesome. I've been trying to remember every day. Even like about an hour ago, I did, like, TikTok came up, so I told everybody, follow us on TikTok. It's at Free Talk Live. We got that username. There's no underscores or anything like that, so it should be pretty easy to find us. Jeremy has a goal of reaching 10,000 followers. And
then we can go live, and LRN will be live on TikTok 24/7.
That would be awesome.
So cool.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. We really appreciate it. Is there anything else that you wanted to, like, comment on what we were talking about?
Words are not that important to me, and I would never, legislate against any free speech or anything. I don't believe in the government anyway, but I do try to choose my words in a way that's going to be, well, I guess in this case, you were just being angry, so it didn't really matter.
I do know where you're coming from, though. Like, I would never get so angry that I just said something that I completely don't want people to say to me, is just stuff like that. It's just like, the other thing is, a lot of things that I believe as the right thing to do, the respectful thing to do, I throw that out the window when I'm talking to a cop that has my husband in a cage.
And I think that it sounds like the word's changed from my generation to your generation.
Well, thank you so much for calling and being the TikTok correspondent, like you said. 603-283-6160 is the phone number if you'd like to be heard on the air with us. 603-283-6160. Disagree with me? You want to tell me I'm wrong in any way? You're free to do that. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Eleutheromania, the insatiable desire for freedom. It's the new 3-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app, or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
You can call in at 603-283-6160. And I would like to thank Corey for being a silver level amplifier with us. We really appreciate everybody who is an amp with us. That means that Corey went to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com, and became a member with us. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com to learn what kind of perks and benefits you could get for joining, and also just to help us out here. That stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support Free Talk Live. So thank you so much to Corey. We really appreciate all of our amplifiers. With you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And Riley.
And I'm going to go straight to you guys' phone calls and thoughts. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hi, my name is Claire Best, and I'm calling in about the DCIS and the child abuse at the Youth Detention Center, and how it ties into Police Officer James F. McLaughlin from Keene. Mm-hmm. I just got records from James F. McLaughlin from the 1980s, and also from a lawsuit filed against him by Father Gordon McRae in 1994, before Father Gordon McRae was prosecuted based on charges trumped up by McLaughlin. And it's pretty shocking to see what's going on, because McLaughlin had a record against him in the 1980s with the Keene police. But he also had a federal entrapment record from 1988 in Massachusetts.
So this guy, is he still a cop? I've heard a bit about this. How did you come to find out about this stuff, too?
So James McLaughlin is still a cop. He's actually still working. He's still working with Chris McLaughlin, who is the DA of Cheshire County. He has a lawsuit at the moment against the City of Keene Police, as a John Doe, trying to get his name removed from the lorry list.
Hmm. Okay, so yeah, that's the reason I've heard about him. So what is this new information you said that you have regarding him? I guess I'm a little lost because like a lot of stuff I just don't know. I've been hearing similar things popping up ever since the state started saying, yes, people have the right to do a FOIA request on anyone and any cop's disciplinary actions from the past. There's been a bunch of things coming out, so it's like I don't really know which is which.
Yes. So there have been a bunch. People have heard about Rep. John Stone from Claremont, mm-hmm. Who was a police officer who had apparently threatened his police chief to murder him after he had raped and murdered his wife and daughter. And that came about because he was being investigated for a inappropriate relationship with a 15-year-old girl who was an informant for what, I don't know. And that was hidden. But before that story came out, there was a story in In-Depth New Hampshire. There have been several, in fact, in In-Depth New Hampshire about this guy, James McLaughlin, who is New Hampshire's top internet sex crimes police officer. And what every parent, family, everyone should be aware of is that there is that he was caught in federal entrapment, meaning luring someone in to commit a crime that they would never have looked, gone for, back in 1995, and that the First Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on this in 1998. And what he did is just shocking. What he did is he posed as this woman called Frances, 31-year-old, single mom with three children under the age of 12, who put an ad in a newspaper seeking a male companion for fun times and to mentor her children. And they got 97 replies, and this one guy from Maine replied and got into a conversation with Frances, and the guy from Maine said, "What do you mean mentor?" And she said, or rather, he said, she said, to have sex with my three children, to teach them to have sex and so forth.
Yeah.
And so this guy from Maine was like, "Well, that's illegal." And she said, "Well, we're very open and we do stuff in front of the camera and blah, blah, blah." And because the guy in Maine was attracted to her, he sort of went along with the narrative and agreed to meet her in Keene. So he drove from Maine to Keene, and when he got to Keene, he was arrested in the parking lot, and they framed him as a pedophile.
Wow!
So the case went to the First Circuit Court of Appeals, and they basically ruled that the government, i.e., James McLaughlin, were the ones who sexualized children, who came up with the notion of sexualizing children in the first place, and that this guy was entrapped. And
these entrapments are so gross because it's like, why is this some kind of an important service we need from the cops? Like, it's so
they're
gross.
They're felonies.
Well, because
they're felonies and they're illegals. And the question that every family in New Hampshire should be asking is, why is the New Hampshire Police Department employing James McLaughlin after 1998? When he was found on federal entrapment? And I've heard, I haven't been able to verify yet, I've heard that he's not allowed to travel to certain countries because he'd be arrested upon arrival, and that he's not allowed to frequent certain eating establishments like McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, and KFC because he conducted his entrapment business there. Now, I'm trying to get documentation on this, and I'm in the process of it. But in the meantime, I think it's just everybody should know this guy's using aliases of teenage kids, sending out unsolicited images of kids, trying to lure people in to commit crimes without them knowing it. It's horrible.
That is horrible. That's really evil.
Caller, I forget your name.
Claire.
Claire.
Yes, yes.
Thanks for communicating as well and doing some research and exposing this. So have you heard of David Jose and like the David Jose affidavit process?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so if you go to my website, jaynoone.com, that's jaynoone.com, and you'll see affidavit to investigate DCYF, affidavit to Senate of facts, Sherman Packard. So you can just like four links on there. I think every one of them goes to an affidavit. A couple of the jot forms may have expired. But what really needs to happen is people, we the people, need to give corrective wisdom to the government agents via an affidavit. And there's some real good affidavit examples right there on my website. We actually have a couple more pretty good affidavits brewing up here to straighten out some that the Speaker of the House, Sherman Packard in New Hampshire, he removed Leah Cushman from this committee to investigate DCYF and put sort of someone who I think is, you know, a lot softer on the committee, because Leah requested that the people testify under oath. And, you know, these guys that we are investigating don't want to be investigated. They don't want their racket to be exposed. They don't want their very profitable child trafficking, operation put to a stop, because they're all corrupt and they're all working together, whether it's the cops, DCYF, and actually it's not all cops. I mean, the cops that are good family members, like Henniker cops are really good, but like, you know, the Manchester cops, the Concord cops, the Keene cops, they're more like lefty, woke, corrupt types, from what I understand.
This just seems like a weird, like almost like a weird fetish this guy's doing, like getting people, you know, putting people that are just probably productive members of society into jail with these weird entrapment schemes. And then it's like, why does it always have to do with child sex? Like, that's just weird.
So the solution...
There's federal grants in it. That's why there's kickbacks.
Oh,
there's a whole kickback scheme going on, and I can tell you that I was personally threatened with a lawsuit by Shaheen and Gordon after I had written a letter to the LEACT Commission about my concern about how children were being interviewed and coerced of minors in these sexual assault investigations.
Would you be interested in emailing that letter to me?
I'll send it. And I had sent a letter to Russ Riley, who brought the David Meehan class action lawsuit against YDC. And I outlined to him my research and what I believed was a kids to cash scheme. And in that letter, I named various people that I thought were involved in it. And those included Amanda Grady Sexton, who's a City of Concord councilwoman and Director of Public Affairs of the Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. And as a result of that, I then got a threat of a defamation suit from Shaheen and Gordon on behalf of Amanda Grady Sexton and the New Hampshire Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. And I had an attorney remind them of my First Amendment rights. They asked for me to stop contacting three-letter agencies, because I have contacted pretty much every agency under the sun you can think of. And then they asked me to remove the comments and to back down, because Amanda Grady Sexton was running for re-election. So I'm pretty upset and angry about this. And, you know, I don't have any financial interest in this. Luckily, I don't have any children involved in this, but I've witnessed it. I came across it because... I was investigating what happened in the very high-profile criminal case of New Hampshire versus Owen Labrie in 2015, and realizing that there was a racket going on behind it, and that the whole thing was a political show trial, and that there was an extortion racket which followed it. And I was so horrified that I had to do something.
Claire, getting back to the solution here, I was getting into the solution is affidavits. When people, when the masters of government are we the people, and when someone who is one of the people, as described in the New Hampshire Constitution, swears under oath with an affidavit that is notarized and sent to whoever, I think they should be sent to state representatives, Supreme Court justices, but sent to at least, and it needs to be sent to all of them. You can't just send this affidavit to one agency. And also needs to be sent to state representatives, preferably. So the committee I would send it to is called the, I believe, Administrative Committee.
Yeah.
I know Jason Gerdhard is on the, Executive Committee. So it's all executive branch. So like investigating police departments. There's actually several people I'm helping write up affidavits now that have been harmed or injured by multiple police by police departments. We got Ware, we got Concord, we got Manchester, we got Keene. You got another Keene one. And if people in these affidavits command their servants to get rid of this particular officer, and these affidavits can be put in jot forms, they can be sent by email. The real powerful thing is that the affidavit is sent certified return receipt the commander of this police department, the city council, the state representatives, and they're all ordered to do something about it. If you get on Twitter, the guy who's really pushing this and doing a great job, he goes by Dave Cares For You.
Yes, I know him. Yep. I know who he is.
So have you heard the recent Twitter space with Dave and Leah Cushman? I think it happened a couple days ago.
Yes, great. And I'm in touch with Leah. Absolutely.
Excellent. So are you in New Hampshire, Claire?
My family has a house there, and we spent summer there, and I got married there.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice. I did, too. I was just wondering how you found out about Free Talk Live.
I found about Free Talk Live actually from Robert LaMontagne, who's a victim of this James F. McLaughlin.
Oh, awesome.
And and he had read some of the articles and things that I had read and contacted me and told me all about you guys and said I should call in. And so here I am. And so I'm very glad. Thank you for having me.
I was saying awesome because I know who Rob is. He's Rob from Vermont, a caller from time to time here. So that's really nice.
Yeah,
well, thank you.
Claire, my email is jay@jnoone.com. That's jay@jaynoone.com. I've got a lot of interesting things going on here. They haven't given me a date yet, but the next committee to investigate DCYF, there's going to be, we got to legislate myself and multiple other people who I got to actually write out affidavits that they've been injured by DCYF and demanding something be done. The legislature, as a redress of grievance through the legislature, and New Hampshire is one of the only states that we can actually get this done because we have a citizen legislature. We have 400 state representatives here. They're not paid.
Yeah.
They're not getting a pension fund that's being funded by Title IV of the Social Security Administration like the judges are. The judges' judicial pension fund is quite literally funded by DCYF and family court's ability to literally destroy families and take children away and adopt them and all this nonsense and collect child support and assign child support and all these things. And the and I've been doing a lot of research on this lately, but you sound like you'd be someone great to come to Concord and testify. I don't know. There's going
to
be several hearings.
I'll do it. No. I go to New Hampshire. I'd be very happy to do it. And, I found out that the police pensions go through Prison Inc., which is a massive, for-profit corporation.
Yep.
So it's in all of their incentives to basically ruin families.
Yeah.
Go for the most vulnerable, bully them, bully children. Children are being bullied inside the children's advocacy centers. It's absolutely horrible. There's proof of this, and if you look at the children's advocacy centers and who's on the boards is the police and the prosecutors.
It's a total inside job scam all the way around.
Yeah.
And the people are becoming aware, the people are waking up, and the people are starting to realize that they are the masters of the government. And it is time that some public servants are made examples of, that they lose their jobs, they lose their pensions, they lose their homes, they go to prison for a very long time.
Absolutely.
Whatever. And just like, you know, this whole thing with New Hampshire DCYF, I've been in talks with a particular state representative who's been investigating this now for years, sort of on his own. He's not on this particular committee, but he tells me he's done a lot of research on it and the numbers that sent in the past decade, and this was a conversation now that's 2 years old, but in the past decade, the Department of Risk and Benefit, I think is what it's called. That's who pays out like settlements when New Hampshire gets sued. The Department of Risk and Benefit has paid out over $300 million, he said, in the past decade.
Crazy.
Now that is to settle claims against DCYF. So if you simply just internet search New Hampshire DCYF settlements or NHDCYF settlements, you'll just find article after article after article after article of children molested, children killed, children this, children that, after taken into custody. And then you will find that, and then it's like this Montgomery Harmony thing. My speculation is, so Montgomery Harmony's father.
It's Harmony Montgomery.
Harmony Montgomery's father looks like just a total, like, messed out drug addict, whatever. And so he was probably.
That was a little girl, like a 5 or younger year old.
She was like 5 when she died.
Between 5 and 7 years old,
So some people who are kind of looking into this are talking about the mother. I guess the mother had some issues, but she wasn't like horrible. But what we're going to find out with Harmony Montgomery's father, I don't even know if I forget his name. We're going to probably find out. I'm going to speculate that he's a confidential informant.
He was actually a mule for them.
Yes, yes. So you think he was working with them?
And that's why they gave him custody, even though he was clearly like the worst choice for parent.
Yes. Yes. And I also think that, in fact, when Chief Oldenburg, I think his name is, who is the Manchester police, when he gave his first interview, if you watch his body language, he's very uncomfortable and he says someone's lying. Well, Kayla Montgomery started off by lying to the grand jury. And then she changed her tune, and they excused her for collecting welfare payments, and that if she would testify for them. Well, there's a case in Kansas where a prosecutor has just lost her license because she was making these deals where these women would lie for them about what really happened in order to get their children back. And I think this is what happened with Kayla Montgomery.
Yeah.
And I actually think that when the police found Adam Montgomery, they found him with his current girlfriend, and then his current girlfriend suddenly committed suicide. And it wasn't the Manchester police that announced that. It was the spokesperson, the media person for the Manchester police who said it. So in other words, they weren't saying it directly, and they just said, she's been found dead. And then no suspicious circumstances.
Whoa.
Well, I'm sorry. That's suspicious circumstances. They found him living in the car with this girl. You know, her name disappears out of it all. And then they don't say it themselves. They have a spokesperson say it for them, that it wasn't under suspicious circumstances. I think that's rubbish.
Whoa.
Yeah, I grew up in Palmer, Massachusetts, and right bordering town is Warren, Mass. And there's a girl named Molly Bish, and her remains were found on basically this wilderness area.
Like a little girl, like a child?
She was a lifeguard. She was a teenager. I'm just going to drop the guy's name, but basically, so I grew up in this town. I lived there for 30-some-odd years until I moved away. And did a lot of legal research, did a lot of stuff. You know, I've been kind of doing my... I'm free, I'm not a slave kind of thing for a long time. And there's this guy who was really into researching a lot, and he did a lot of work on this Molly Bish thing. And there was this confidential informant number 62, Jerry Battistoni. And the guy who told me about him was a limo driver at the time. And this dude basically, it was a limo driver, and he was also did a little jail time for doing some freedom oriented stuff, victimless crimes things. I'm not going to say who that guy was, but he basically laid out the story that this confidential informant, fit number 62 for the Eastern Hampden County Narcotics Drug Task Force, was known for basically had a got his dopamine hit from, you know, doing unspeakable thing to young girls. And this girl, I think she was about 15-ish or 14-ish maybe when this happened. She wasn't like old enough to drive, I don't think. Her parents dropped her off at her lifeguard gig and then never saw her again. But the mom also saw this guy in this, you know, Buick Regal, Buick Grand National, Monte Carlo, mid-90s, you know, General Motors car that was white, and they had all description of it. And according to my buddy, he looked just like this, you know, Jerry Battistoni guy that he sort of knew through like limo rides and stuff, and also like his prison record. And he was a drug dealer, and he was a confidential informant. And
did he get off because he was working with them or something?
Well, he was in jail for some other stuff, this right. Jerry Battistoni, and he was killed in jail. He was allegedly killed in jail because word had gotten around that he had, you know, done this to Molly Bish. Now,
that's not a joke. They really do take it really seriously. And in jail, they don't like child molesters.
And the weird thing is Molly Bish's father was a probation officer, and John Bish was his name. And a lot of the word around town was that he's going to, you know, milk this for every political inch and try to be the governor of Massachusetts over it, which, you know, never happened. Nobody ever heard of him. And it was a horrible thing. And, you know, I never knew who Molly Bish was. She's about 4 years younger than me, I guess. I was like 21 when this happened, but I knew like hundreds of kids that knew her personally. But yeah, it was definitely not investigated well. And just like, who's the guy, Whitey Bulger, literally getting away with murder over and over again because he's an informant.
Well, they're trying to get his records, and the FBI appealed them, so the Boston Herald has filed an appeal.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Claire. It's an interesting conversation. It's pretty obvious to me that when you give people incentives to do whatever they want and not get in trouble, that the people who want to murder and rape and be disgusting will go be the cops, and then they can cover it up or, you know, work for DCYF and cover things up and put children in whatever house they want, not looking out for the best interest for them, because we don't have free markets and it's Free Talk Live.
The Shire Free Church offers a sanctuary to those seeking an escape from state churches.
The Shire Free Church is an interfaith, diverse group of people that may not share identical theological beliefs.
As a member in or minister of the Shire Free Church, you are a sovereign individual and may be the faith of your choice.
We don't claim to have all of the answers.
We are open to all peaceful people.
We want to learn from each other.
What unifies the Shire Free Church and its diverse members is peace,
love,
and liberty. There are many paths to God, one for every individual.
The Shire Free Church does not define a specific path beyond these parameters that must be your foundation.
Peace as your way.
Love as your guide.
And liberty as your light.
Learn more at church.shiresociety.com.
That's church.shiresociety.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay Noon,
and Riley.
And I'm just going to go straight to you guys' phone calls and thoughts. We have Rob in Vermont. Rob, what is on your mind tonight?
Yeah, boy, what a conversation that, you guys had with Claire Best. She's a wealth of information.
She seems like she's full of a lot of information about corruption and government corruption.
Yeah, she actually lives out in L.A., but I think that her and her husband are going to be coming up to New Hampshire. They have some family, I guess, in New Hampshire. They're going to be coming up this year. But the reason why I called is I wanted to make like a little announcement here. And this is like right on the subject of what you guys were talking about in terms of, you know, the corrupt police and corrupt officials and the way that we deal with this. And that is, on the 24th of April of this month, the city council over in Claremont, New Hampshire, are going to try to fight to get Representative Stone to lose his seat. And I'm thinking that this is a perfect time, you know, for people to, you know, start standing up and calling this, mess out. And, you know, I'm going to be there, and I hope to see a lot of you other guys there, too.
Give us an example of how you would call this mess out. Explain the mess a little bit.
Well, I mean, this, New Hampshire State Representative, you know, had a relationship with a girl that was, 15, 16. He threatened his own, superiors. I mean, he's just a horrible person. And this guy's on a legislative seat in Concord?
Oh, he is? He's on top of being a cop? Or is this a different one, sir?
Oh, well, he is not a cop in Claremont anymore because he resigned because he had these investigations that were being looked at on him. And, he won a seat over at in Concord as a representative. And then, within the last 2 or 3 weeks, Damian Fisher got a FOIA request information on Stone and then just threw his, everything out there to paper for everyone to see. Because we need to start calling out these bad cops.
Yes, and this Lori list needs to be a public document. And there is so many cops that should be on this list that aren't. And what people need to start doing is they need to start swearing out affidavits and filing affidavits with of trespass if these police have trespassed on you. And most of these police are trespassing on people constantly, and send it to their superiors, send it to the state representative, send it to the executive committee. There, if you look up on the internet, New Hampshire House of Representatives Executive Committee.
Well, what do you think people should do if they don't want to swear that, like, oh, Leo Cushman represents me and I've hired her to represent me? Because I would never sign those papers.
No offense, personally. Doesn't say you've hired her.
I know, but I'm being kind of dramatic on purpose.
If they represent the people in
general.
But
she doesn't represent me and I don't agree to that.
Well, then if you claim you have no representation, you have no representation and the beatings will continue.
I don't think that's the only, if no one represents me instead of myself, then, they're going to keep doing. I think that there are different things that could be done. And this hasn't done anything in the last 250 years or whatever.
It hasn't been done in the last. It's been well over 100 and some odd years since this type of thing that we have done with Leah Commission.
I just mean the idea that you can tell state reps or whoever what to do and that they represent you and make them do what you want.
Because that's the remedy in the Constitution, that the state representatives are a part of a trust. and this trust is the Constitution. They swore an oath to it. You didn't swear an oath to the Constitution. I didn't swear an oath to the Constitution. The state representatives did, and it's a trust indenture is what the Constitution refers to itself.
Like, speaking of me not swearing an oath to the Constitution, right. I never agreed to be part of this system at all. So I just don't think that I'm going to go put my name on some papers basically saying that I, like, that's basically, like, no one could tell me that I didn't agree to this anymore if I signed something like that saying, oh, Leah Cushman represents me and she, I told her what to do and now she's going to do this. Like, I mean, that's basically like joining the social contract. Then they're going to be like, well, you agreed to it. You agreed for them to tell you can't put this
in
your body or whatever.
I guess it could be joining a social contract, but, you know, if nobody orders these representatives to do anything by affidavit, then the lobbyists will just have their way with the representatives and they won't represent the people. The representatives need instruction, and the only way they can receive instruction is via sworn affidavit. That is how they operate.
And then they can just choose not to listen to it anyway.
Right. They can choose that. And we have a few representatives that are choosing not to do that. And
sounds like all of them are, except Leah Cushman or a couple, a handful, maybe.
There's many of them that are. And an example is going to be made out of them. We'll see what happens. For violating her oath of office, and there is.
But who's going to put them in jail?
I'm not sure how all that's going to play out. I'm not, like, I don't have all these answers, but
I just wouldn't risk putting my name on a piece of paper that says, "Oh, I agreed to all this stuff. Now you can tax me as much as you want."
That doesn't say that on
affidavit.
It doesn't
have to say that for me to say I'm agreeing to this system, and then they can extrapolate all of that from there.
Is you're commanding?
I don't command anyone who doesn't work
to do
for me.
Their job.
She's not my public servant. I don't want any of them to be my public servant.
Okay, then you're not going to be representative in this so-called Republican representative form of government.
And I don't want to. I want them to leave me alone.
But they won't leave you alone. And the only way that you can do a redress of grievance, essentially, is to do the redress of grievance through the legislature. Because
then
the
I really don't want her to represent me if she refuses to leave me alone and if I don't tell her what to do or whatever you're saying. And Leah Cushman's already voted against my right to put any substance I want in my body. I don't like her. I don't like any of these people.
So pick one that you do like.
No, there's not anyone that would do every single thing I want because they don't represent me because they're not me or my husband or something like that. And I don't want to give any of them any types of power over me via saying that they work for me.
If you want to complain about it but not take any actual fundamental steps to do anything.
Oh, I should just move to Somalia?
Like, no. No, you should take some fun, read these constitutions,
study these documents. I understand that you're like at your wit's end because like you have this system, this situation that happened to you, but like so did I.
Yep.
The government's going after me too, my family too, and ruining my family's lives too. And I definitely don't think the answer is to become buddy-buddy with them and act like...
It's not about coming buddy-buddy. It's commanding them to do their freaking job. Their job is to protect your rights. Of course, they're not going to unless you command them. For hundreds of years, for well over 100 years now, the people have just been not doing anything. They don't file actual claims. They don't file affidavits. They don't swear under oath that they were trespassed on and this happens and you did this to me and you need to correct the situation.
You know how I do that with my voice?
Right, but they don't care.
I tell people about it all the time.
Right, but an affidavit is powerful, and it stands as truth until it's rebutted. So you put facts in these affidavits of the trespass against you, and these guys will not rebut them because they're not in honor. Nobody's in honor in this government. And when these affidavits go unrebutted, and then there's steps that we can go about this. I'm still learning about this process, but we need to study and do something, because if you just complain on a radio about it, really nothing happens. I mean, look at all these protesters.
If you just complain on a piece of paper about it, nothing happens.
If you sign a piece of paper under oath that the statements are true and you're swearing they're true, they are truth until they are rebutted, and then they don't rebut them. This is all steps that we have to take to file lawsuits and tort claims against these guys, and it has been happening. How do you think $300 million just in little old 1.3 million population New Hampshire got paid out by by the state based on DCYF because people...
they'll do whatever they want?
No, because people filed claims against these guys. And what the state is doing is they are paying off the claims. They are settling the claims. The only way a lawsuit gets filed is with an affidavit. The only way
a
redress of agreement...
It's not a good thing that the taxpayers had to give people money something happened to
them. And this is why DCYF should be shut down. This is another example. And if DCYF is not shut down, if this committee to investigate DCYF does not shut it down, the legislature does not shut it down, then the guys in the legislature who fight against this are at war with the people. They're at war with the Constitution. They have been instructed by the people. Multiple people have instructed them, and we are setting them up like dominoes to take these guys down politically with lawsuits and other means when they have zero evidence.
What judge is going to roll in your favor? I just watched the most sham trial ever. Jason Gerhardt in the federal court for recording in the...
We don't need judges to rule in our favor. From this,
in a lawsuit,
these lawsuits can be done by what's called I forget the term off the top of my head right now, but there is remedy that I'm learning about. I don't know all the answers to this. I've been fighting these, you know, kind of battles. You know, I personally feel I've been pretty successful at a lot of this stuff when it comes to it. I mean, you know, just these, I'm like the least injured individual that of these people who are testifying about the stuff that DCYF does to them. I mean, my kids weren't stolen and raped and stuff like that. They just took my time.
And I think what you did was great by just standing up for yourself in a literal sense with your words on your property. That's great. I think that's the only thing that I've seen actually do anything for you. I haven't seen Leah Cushman or a same state representative at all do something for you or signing any paper. And it just kind of frustrates me because I just don't understand. Like, you're kind of like, arguing for the state at this point, and I'm not
arguing for the state. I'm arguing that we use the remedy that was put in the Constitution, the remedies that are in these maxims of law. You know, the Constitution is a document created by people that created the state. The state of New Hampshire that we're interacting with now is not a creature created by the Constitution. It doesn't operate within the Constitution. The state of New Hampshire is a franchise of a corporation calling itself United States. It's a franchise of the District of Columbia. Has been since the late 1800s. I think Massachusetts became one of these municipal corporations in the 1880s. And so the state of New Hampshire Incorporated is totally different than the state of New Hampshire Republic. Mm-hmm. The New Hampshire Republic is an entity that runs by the Constitution. So you start asking judges if they work for the state of New Hampshire Incorporation or the state of New Hampshire.
In the federal court case with Jason Gerhardt for filming in the trial, it was Frank that brought this up. So Frank Footloose Staples, we've talked about him on the show. He's actually called in a few times before. He also went to court the same the next like hour for filming inside a federal courthouse. Well, he brought up the fact that he did some digging. He went to the attorney general, I think it is, and he found out that the federal government, have not followed the correct procedure to actually operate in New Hampshire. And they were supposed to do something like fill out some form, and it's clearly written down that that's what the federal government has to do whenever they want to operate inside of the state of New Hampshire. And he showed them like proof that they haven't done that, or at least that they hadn't shown proof that they had done it. And the prosecution just said, like, this is ridiculous, man. Like, we object, and like, we don't want him talking about this. What's the relevance? And she was like, yeah, whatever. I don't see the relevance. And also they also said, federal government supremacy, the supremacy clause or something like that.
Yeah, and, which is also kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, which is absolutely ridiculous. They will just tell you, we don't need your permission to do whatever we want, and that's the end of the story. Unless, like, more people than they have guns come up with guns and start shooting people, I just don't see how the people are going to change anything through the system. Like, I think the thing is, like, people have to change the idea that other people have authority over them. And by me signing some piece of paper saying Leah Cushman has authority to do whatever on my behalf, like, that's not saying that she has authority.
It can be anybody.
But I'm just giving an example.
Right. So it could be any state representative.
I don't want any of them. Whichever one is the best one, like, same at San Tenestoso. I do not give him permission to represent me.
I don't know what to tell you then. I mean, there are other things. You could go to, you know, to one stupid F and three other words after it, .com, and you can check out that stuff. Study that contract killer course that Brandon Joey Williams does. That's That's pretty powerful stuff. But getting yourself out of the system is really, really difficult to do without getting injured at the same time or imprisoned.
With these, what's it called, these processes, yeah, but not with just like me and my friends come together and say, we're not part of that, and that's all we have to, like, that's all I have to say, period. The Shire Society Declaration, I agreed to that. But I don't think I have to go through all these processes, especially like the point of the Free State Project is for people to come together and say that and not just have to go through certain processes. Like, if I declare it to be true, it's true that I am not under these people's control. But since this is a call and talk radio show, I want to give an unscreened caller. I don't know if I can say the name that's on the screen here. So unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind? I just mean, I don't know if he wants me to say it.
Yeah, it's fine. So I'm calling in because Jay has talked a lot about affidavits and the work he's done for it. Does he realize the difference between a verbal and a written affidavit? Because it seems like he's looking at all these officers that have sworn oaths. And so, like, when you think about it in a courtroom, like, there's no written record other than the court transcript of someone swearing to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so I think that there's a lot of these law enforcement agencies in Massachusetts that probably just have verbal oaths and there's no paperwork to back it up. That doesn't mean they're not sworn officers. It just means that there's no written record of that oath.
Well, so the Massachusetts thing I was talking about last week, the Massachusetts code and or law, actually it says it in their code and in the Constitution of Massachusetts, that oaths are to be sworn and subscribed. So they are to be signed with a wet ink with a pen. These guys are supposed to sign them by hand, and they don't. Now, with the lawyers and the prosecutors and the judges that didn't have any of these no signature on their oath card, they got a line for a signature. They got their name printed on it from like a typewriter in all caps, of course.
Huh.
But there's no sign on any oath card for any of these judges or prosecutors that we looked into. And what they said is, yeah, well, we did an auditorium style. When I did my oath, it was with, you know, hundreds of other people doing the oath at the same time.
So
we did it not in the auditorium.
Is their oath valid or invalid now?
Well, I would have to say if the founding document that creates these entities, both on the statutory and the constitutional side, state that it must be subscribed, signed, then they don't have an oath on file. So it's like the social contract I want to talk about. Well, does it bear my signature? And so these things would need to bear a signature. But the thing is they're not operating under the Constitution. They're not operating, and they're operating with a presumption that you aren't one of the people, obviously, that you don't have any constitutional rights. They're operating on the presumption that you have waived these rights. And if you start reading all about, if you like take the contract killer course that Brandon Joey Williams does, which I haven't gone through the course yet, you know, it's a 39 continuous days of watching a 45-minute video every day that he emails you. I've watched some of these clips and stuff that he talks about, but basically it gives you a really good understanding of how you sold yourself into slavery by signing documents like tax forms.
I don't agree that that actually is me selling myself into slavery or anyone else when
whether
they don't
you agree
understand.
Or not.
No, when they don't understand what they're doing. I didn't get sat down with like a lawyer and explained to
you. Doesn't matter if you
yes,
think
it does
that or not.
Because the contract's not valid
no,
if you
doesn't.
Don't have the ability to understand what you're doing.
Here's why it
that
doesn't matter.
That is just like normal contract law.
If you sign a deal with the devil, do a deal with the devil, which is basically what you're doing when you sign any government forms. And
without
you,
like properly being
yep.
educated on it.
Right.
No, because that's not how contracts work. If somebody tries to get me to sign something in a different language than I speak, it's not valid. No one would agree to that. No one would say if I signed something in Spanish when I don't speak Spanish that, well, sorry, you signed your soul to the devil. It's over now.
So,
no one would agree. And this is called legalese. I don't speak that.
So you were not fully informed.
Exactly. So
okay.
It's just out of,
but
it's not the case anymore. It's
the
not
the people who work for the devil, the cult members that are part of the state of New Hampshire, the county of Cheshire, the city of Keene, the United States, all those cult worshipping people who believe that you signed believe the presumption that you are subject to their jurisdiction, that you are a person, a United States citizen, subject to your jurisdiction, they'll kill you over that belief.
I know, but that's the thing. They'll do it anyway. They'll kill you over just actually doing the correct process.
They've but when you understand...
The guy that Bear Arms always references in jail. Your guy could go to jail tomorrow. Ian's in jail and he didn't actually break any laws.
Right.
So it's like there's no point in being like, I found the actual proper way to do this now, until you actually have like a video of yourself like getting everything kicked out.
Because the presumption is that you are under their jurisdiction.
So why do they want to presume that we're under their jurisdiction automatically?
So you're a slave, and the presumption is you're under their jurisdiction. Now, one of the things that I have done is I have not stepped in any of these jurisdictional traps over the years. My dad, you know, had me understanding this stuff. Like when I did get a driver's license, I attached a document with it. I, you know, signed it all rights reserved. In fact, and you know, I did a public records request years ago for those documents, when I sort of did my own contract killer, you know, thing going through these, and I got rid of these documents and I served the state with fee schedules along with affidavits letting them know that I have revoked any power of attorney they have given, that I have knowingly or unknowingly given to them. I did a whole sort of process I kind of like put together myself 10 years ago, and for me personally, it has seemed to work quite well.
What was that
so
before
far.
After they took your property from you?
That was just after they took the property.
Okay.
Which is something I'm actually looking into doing a tort claim against, that property seizure that was 12 years ago, which essentially there's no statute of limitations from what I understand. And we got a couple of things going on, but that's one of the things that I'm planning on looking into, is going after the town of Palmer. Actually, I have been looking into it. Looks like it can be pretty successful, because everything the state is doing it, they don't have the authority to do it, is the bottom line.
603-283-6160. I hope that answered your question, Matthew. You can stay on the air if you want to, if you have more to add to that. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. You can call with whatever's on your mind. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live. The lines are actually full right now. 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call and see if you can get in them. And if you call on the SIP line, you'll be the only person on the SIP line, actually. It's Free Talk Live, and with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Riley.
And Matthew is calling, was on the line in the last segment, and I just want to know, did that answer your question? You had a question for Jay. You asked if he knows the difference between oral and written oaths. So did that answer your question? You have anything else on your mind?
It did, and I thought he would find it amusing to know that so every time in the military that I've been promoted, I have to not only swear an oath, but you have to physically sign the piece of paper, and they make it clear to you that what you say doesn't matter. The only thing that actually matters is the ink that you put on paper. So at least on the federal level, they're doing things correctly.
That does seem to correlate with what Jay is saying. So it kind of brings more credence to his idea that they aren't under oath, because if the people in the military are told, oh, it doesn't matter what you say, it matters what you write down, like you would think it would apply to the cops too. But anyways, thank you for the call, Matthew. We also have, I almost said former, but another co-host of ours on Free Talk Live on Saturday and Sunday nights. We have Peakless Mountaineer on the line. Peakless Mountaineer, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to briefly talk about the FISA amendments that are going through.
What is that?
So FISA is it's an end run around getting a warrant in order to spy on people. And in theory, the idea is that, well, these aren't U.S. citizens, so they don't have rights. But they are very frequently being used to spy on U.S. citizens, by connecting them with someone who is not.
In this, do they state that it's for non-U.S. citizens or it's for potential enemies to the United States? Because let's remember that U.S. citizens in 1933, with the amendment of the Trading with the Enemy Act, U.S. citizens got classified as enemies of the United States in 1933.
Oh.
I'm not sure which one it does. I know that the way that people are putting up with it is because it's for those who aren't citizens and therefore theoretically don't have the rights of privacy or their papers and all of that.
So what does this mean to you, Like, why did this? Why is this important enough to talk about on the radio?
Right. The reason I wanted to talk about it, two things. One, I wanted to give out a number that is useful for calling whichever senator is in your area code. And the other thing I wanted to, the reason for the number, so they're redefining this term, because as Jay will certainly attest, a lot of this comes down to the definitions that they use. And they're redefining a communications service provider to be just the broadest possible definition, including like, if you have a cleaning lady and she comes into your home where your laptop is, she is being defined as a communications service provider. And
reason
that this is, and the reason this is important, part of the FISA thing is that the NSA can force labor out of anyone that is a communications service provider. So they can, with this, and she would have a gag order if this happened, but they could have your cleaning lady be forced to go in and, like, plug in this thumb drive into your laptop because she's a communications service provider if this thing passes. And, yeah.
It's, just because it's just she is not, just because she is, like, a, you know, what they call legal immigrants. And she's
in
your house?
No, this is for citizens. No, like, any business, the requirement is that you have access to equipment that communications are transmitted or stored on.
What?
So, yeah, they're just really expanding this, communication service provider definition. To basically be anyone with access to any kind of communications equipment of anyone. And at that point, they can just essentially enslave you, make you do unpaid labor in just spying on anyone that they want to. And then you are not allowed to talk about it.
It just sounds like the tyrants, despots, and thieves are trying to make us more of their slaves for whatever reason.
Because they love control.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I mean, they've publicly recognized in things like the World Economic Forum that the big problem right now is information. So they are trying everything they can to clamp down on our ability to speak to each other.
So a troll in the troll chat, the on-air now chat on Matrix for Free Talk Live says, as long as there's a foreign element to the conversation, they can use FISA. So if a foreign national is involved, or if it takes place in a foreign country, or the data goes through a foreign country, is that, does that line up with what you think that all this means?
Yep, that's accurate.
What is a foreign country?
Right.
So
these are all legal terms.
Christopher Gronsky in his in at destinationfreedoms.org, he in part of his presentation, he talks about that. New Hampshire, for example, is foreign to New York because they are independent sovereign nations, a nation state of New York and a nation state of New Hampshire. They are also foreign to the United States. And there's Supreme Court rulings on this. There's all kinds of things that back up this statement. So in this FISA thing, if they're saying it's a foreign nation, well, the United States is a foreign nation with respect to the nation state of New Hampshire or the nation state of Massachusetts. They're independent sovereign nation states. But there's also a New Hampshire that is a corporate franchise. It's just of the United States. It's a different entity. So, yes, they would be using this totally to spy on, quote-unquote, foreigners because someone who's living in New Hampshire is technically a foreigner to the United States, to the District of Columbia. But so and start, can be a United States citizen at the same time.
It seems purposely very broad in general, so they could probably use it for just like what Jay is saying. You know, any reason that to give them any reason.
A big part of this is they do a lot of this through incorporation. You know, everyone incorporates every business that they do for some mad reason. So, okay, now you're incorporated in the District of Columbia. They can tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm. But even if you didn't do any of that stuff and then you're using an internet access and somehow you're using like the wrong app or something like that and the data goes through a foreign nation like Canada or something, it seems like they're just making this like, oh, we can basically, you know, spy on you no matter what.
Well, yeah, I mean, the way it's structured is they can pretty much collect anything that they even suspect has anything to do with any foreign national. And then they're just supposed to, you know, on their honor, ignore the stuff that is exclusively American. So, yeah, it's just a really, really big expansion of powers that honestly I do expect them to use.
Wow. So at first I thought you were saying this was something that may pass, but this from Crenshaw.house.gov says that this already passed. This amendment already passed. And apparently it's a Dan Crenshaw.
It passed the House, but hasn't passed the Senate yet.
Oh, okay. That's what it's saying here. Yeah. The House of Representatives passed the amendment by Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who I've always only ever heard of like a bad guy. He has like a name that sounds a lot like a henchman, you know?
So when is the Senate supposed to vote on it?
When
is the Senate supposed to vote on it?
I'm not sure, but it seems that they haven't yet. I mean, it's politics, so, you know, they play all sorts of games, all according to their Rogers rules and everything.
Yeah.
They literally do play games. It's so silly. Like, if you've ever been to the State House while they're voting on things, and they have to start asking things in a question, like, if you would not want to see our rights be degraded in this way, would you press the green button and vote yes or whatever. It's weird.
It's Robert's rules of order. They have to have certain decorum.
It's weird. It's almost like gross. It's like, yeah, you guys are not even speaking English. You're playing a weird game.
Confusing everybody purposely.
Yeah. And it's like, seems absolutely like some kind of Masonic like meeting, you know?
And also,
well, I mean, they are literally occulting.
They are.
And let's not forget the common masses. The vocabulary of people today has been degraded compared to, you know, previous generations. Like, our grandparents used thousands more words than we do generally. But,
yeah,
but also, you know, the younger generation is getting one way input from internet devices. They're not reading books. Many of your kids, I've been hearing all kinds of stuff about how there's like so many high school graduates that can't even read at like, yeah, a third grade level. And another thing that we're finding is we're seeing a lot of these, you know, homeschool kids that are now in their 20s and, you know, in their mid 20s are thriving. They're doing really good. They're hustling, they're making money. A lot of them are entrepreneurs, and you're seeing a lot of these, like, there's a lot of examples of these parents who are all around the country who are getting hammered on by DCYF and Child Protective Services because they're homeschoolers, because they're, you know, families, and which, you know, the state hates families because, you know, families are really strong and they're the hardest thing to defeat. So they need to be obliterated.
Yeah, they got to get rid of the family. The family unit's the backbone of society.
I just watched Idiocracy for the first time like a few days ago, or maybe like a week ago at this point. And I just can't unsee it now. Like, so many things around me are just, it's actually exactly like that movie. Like, I saw a new Oreo product, and instead of being like double stuffed Oreo, this is it has even more of the white filling in it. And this this product is called, sorry, I almost coughed. This product is called Most Stuff, and the word stuff only has one F. It doesn't even make sense. Like, this is Oreo, Most Stuff. Why drop the F? Just to make it, like, appeal to stupider people or something? And then also, like, Most Stuff doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it's...
Well, because they misspell all the apps.
Yeah.
All the young kids are doing it. But, yeah, I definitely wanted to send out the number. So if people are interested, they can call this. It'll connect them to their senator and they can say, hey, please do not pass this FISA amendment.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so that's 202-899-8938. 202-899-8938.
Ew, a DC number.
Well, that's the congressional switchboard, I think.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So you should know the name of your representative, at least, your federal...
Right. It seems to be connecting according to you call in, you enter your zip code, and then it connects you with one and then the other of your senators.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to add, Pecos Mountaineer?
Two things. Number one, like you had briefly asked, like, why is it always with the kids? And the reason that it's always with the kids is these blackmail networks get set up because these things are universally reviled. So anything that is just absolutely disgusting to any normal person, you can expect that there is a network of power and blackmail built up around that.
That makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
If you can blackmail somebody, you have a lot more control over them.
But also, if you create a job where someone's job is to pretend to be a child, sexualized, and like flirting with older men, then some creep is going to be the person to apply to that freaking job. Don't you? Like, that's what I always think about those people.
Or yeah, they become true. A creep.
How
doing a job. And the thing is,
how could you stomach it any other way?
Well, and the thing is, too, with, like, what's this cop's name that we were just talking about a little while ago?
I already forgot. Jonathan or something?
Anyways, the thing is with these guys is, like, Hunter Biden's son is the example I like to use. He's been able to get away with stuff because he's part of the protected class.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're part of the protected class, whether you're a cop, a social worker, a confidential informant, you can really, really do a lot of vile, bad things and just keep getting away with it and getting away with it. So when these investigators start getting a dopamine hit from nailing people and you know, putting people away and getting people charged with stuff and doing all these things, it gets to the point where they don't care if the guy is guilty or not. They just want the conviction. They want the plea bargain. They want the, you know, this is how they, this is the only way in these, you know, bureaucratic, you know, systems where they can advance their pay, get higher up the ladder, get more authority, get more power, whatever, well, and get more clout.
And that's the thing. Like, it's not even a matter of just they get away with it because they're in these special classes. That's definitely how it starts and a big part of it. But when it comes to the really high levels of power, you only get advancement because they can trust you. And the only way that monsters like this can ever acquire anything like trust is by having blackmail over each other. So it actually advances your career by doing these inhuman, monstrous acts.
Wow.
And having the right person have that to blackmail you with if they need to.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yep. And
that's why Epstein is not the only one with that job.
Right.
I doubt it. Yeah. I doubt that he is the only one.
I really think the algorithm, you know, Google, whoever's mining the data, is, you know, able to figure out who the dark evil people are, figure out who the pedophiles are before they're pedophiles. I also believe with like this porn culture, that a lot of young men are sort of getting, you know, pushed by, you know, the barely 18 porn and the schoolgirl porn and, you know, this young girl anime stuff. To sort of morph their or program their mind into, you know, desiring, you know, that kind of or to having that attraction. I don't know if that's really possible. But
having some of that attraction is just going to be a natural event of you want the maximum number of procreation years from your partner. So it takes that natural desire that's already there and puts it into a very carefully selected maze of all wrong decisions.
Mm.
Right. Right. Yep. Yeah. That's a pretty good way to put it. But yeah, like I said, I was having a talk with, you know, a mom about her teenage son, and she's, you know, concerned about, you know, the porn. And I think I actually might have given her anxiety talking about how, you know, this stuff is literally programming, you know, these pubescent boys, you know, to, you know, what they want in a woman. And basically the result is that woman doesn't exist. You know, whatever the AI, you know, bot or algorithm, you know.
Well, right. And on the other side of that, you end up with women whose job is to present that woman as if she did exist on things like OnlyFans.
Yep.
Right, which I think OnlyFans is going to be totally dominated by AI bots anyways pretty soon because, you know.
That's a lot cheaper than like spending even like the few minutes to like set up your camera rights, take a picture of your butt or whatever. It's cheaper to just make an AI, a bunch of AI women all at once that don't need to get paid or anything.
Of course, and then...
Yeah, it's probably inevitable.
Even a man can create a bunch of AI and make millions.
That's a good point.
And that's probably exactly how it's going down. Some dude, you know, some sweaty fat guy in his pizza-stained, you know, sweatpants and sweatshirt sitting behind his computer in his gaming chair. He's got his AI bot, you know, working a whole bunch of dudes for him and making money.
And on just a general sense, I wanted to point out that, like, you're both making very good points as far as, like, the legal method is a potential possible way of making some headway, but we also haven't seen a lot of results with that. And the way I see it, like, you're both right, and the way that we need to keep going, like, I take a completely different attack path, which is I think that what we need to focus on is getting rid of their money and their corporate structure. But the thing that really makes us successful is that we're taking all of these paths at the same time. So yeah, absolutely push that attack legally to the point where you're like, okay, now you've got this affidavit that they're definitely defying. Okay, so definitely make the next step that you can make on that. And also, like, okay, you're not making the affidavit because you want to continue to say, I have never opted into this system. And, yeah, that means that you need to take that purity of intention and, you know, speak to people about, hey, we cannot acknowledge this as something that is real and true.
Well, thank you so much for that. I definitely agree. Like, I want everybody to take whatever... angles they can against this behemoth, which is the empire called the United States government and also the state ones as well. And I would definitely want to stop anyone else from doing whatever. Like, I'm not going to run for a state rep, for example, but I also don't think it's a bad idea for the libertarians that do get into doing that. And they're doing a lot of good stuff in there as well. And I agree with you that the money is one of the biggest things. It's one of my favorite things to help people with. It's like, I can help you do something that hurts the state and actually possibly can get, like, help you get control of your money and savings as well. Like, that seems like such a good activism in any right. way you can look at it.
Yeah, and a big part of that also gets into part of what Jay's talking about. Like, if we can set up these economic systems that don't rely on incorporating our businesses, that does a really good job of keeping us away from this corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and these jurisdictional traps. Yeah, for example, right. when the Department of Agriculture came after my father in Massachusetts for being a horse dealer, a horse trader, a dealer, a livestock mm-hmm. dealer, operating a riding school, transporting horses, having a boarding stable. They had licenses for all this stuff, and they served my father with some kind of cease and desist order, and we responded with our answer was a cease and desist order to them, and then also and then asking them for the instrument that bears his signature, where he willingly and knowingly agreed to perform for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and also, you know, I require whatever he put $100,000 per hour to perform for you. And that was the end of it. Never heard anything more about it. But when it comes to this affidavit stuff I was talking about, I just reposted on my Twitter page, which is J Noon Man Camp. I put a post here. I just reposted a post from Leah Cushman that is and you can play this recording of David Jose having people come on and explain how they did these affidavits and everything changed in their case. And I think most of the people that come on this particular Twitter space were all having issues with DCYF. And they started in, and basically what you're doing with these affidavits is you're commanding and informing people in government. Because the thing is these people in government don't even understand and know what their jobs are. They don't know what's going on. And this is just like time and time again, they have no clue. I mean, just look at, you know, half of the Biden administration. You know, they're there, you know, because of, you know, the the DEI initiative, you know, the diversity, you know,
inclusion, equity, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to call
They're just there to fill seats, essentially.
Right. So, and there's just so many people that are, you know, going to get along. They don't, like, even a social worker in my case, she's never read the New Hampshire Constitution. She you watch that video I have on YouTube where I ask her if she has an oath of office. She has no idea what I'm talking about. Wow. And, you know, and they're going around taking kids. But, you know, these Child Protective Services is not part of the government. It's a governmental municipal corporation. It's a governmental agency. It even says it right in their own documents.
Well, apparently Israel, my dad's just texting me and I'm looking at this like breaking news right now. Apparently Israel's just shot Iran and Iraq and one other country with missiles. I really hope that doesn't mean we're about to go into like World War III. Oh, Syria. So in the last 20 or 30 minutes, Israel shot Iran and Iraq and Syria. So I really hope we don't have to go freaking
follow them
and help them.
Yeah, I hope.
I hope that we stay out of this.
Right.
I hope so, too.
I
hope Russia stays out of this.
Yeah.
I hope the U.S. dollar collapses and is worth nothing so Israel can't be funded to just
go be a reckless menace
in the Middle East.
I agree. And you can help that process along using cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin that we've been talking about on Free Talk Live more than any other or longer than any other media. It's been Free Talk Live. You can go to freetalklive.com. Thanks, everyone, for the calls. There are a lot of good calls tonight. And thanks for listening. Peace.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.